Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery's Bob Nightingale to join us in 13 minutes. Talk some MLB activity. Mike Moustakas signing with the Brewers. Manny Machado. San Diego. Bryce Harper, question mark. Seems like the Phillies are bidding against themselves. He'll join us in 13 minutes from USA Today. We will talk with Jared Weiss of The Athletic, Celtics writer. So we'll talk some Bucks Celtics. I want to change my answer.
On which one?
On an athlete that you'd want to pay to see play. I said Babe Ruth. I'm going to change it to Muhammad Ali. I'd like to go back and see Muhammad Ali in his prime,
okay.
Live.
In person, just not on TV.
Yeah, I want to see I want to see what that spectacle is like live.
I would have liked to have seen Muhammad Ali in his prime against Mike Tyson in his prime.
Yeah.
That would have been a hell of a matchup.
Zach tweets in, says, hey, just want to say, guys, Chuck is so on point today. First, totally right about the Favre love versus the Rodgers hate. Second, Springsteen is his favorite concert. Frames is killing it this morning.
Yeah.
So how about that?
Yeah.
The reviews are in.
Well,
and they are good.
It was at Veterans Park. It was an unconventional place for a concert, and he just kept on playing and playing and playing.
Mike Moustakas is playing again for the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, we'll talk more with Bob Nightingale about this in about 13 minutes, 12 minutes or so. Mike Moustakas is back. Okay. Why?
I feel like we had some unfinished business after last year. This is, a great place to play baseball. I've got a bunch of friends on this team. It's a great city. They love the Brewers, and I loved playing here last year. It was a lot of fun, and I feel like we fell a little bit short, obviously, but I feel like this team can get back to where we were at last year and make a push for that World Series.
You know, Mike Moustakas, a free agent, and he was waiting out for an offer, but he's sort of been a Brewer. This entire time, he's been in contact with council. He's been in contact with Stearns. He's seen and helped fundraise for the California Strong with Yelich and Braun. So he's like, it's not like he was just here and then he was gone. He's been front and center with this Brewers organization, despite him not being under contract.
Yeah, but from what he just said there, and I'm a big Moose guy. I like Moose. I wanted him back. But to say, you know what? I feel like I got some unfinished business. That's why I'm returning to Milwaukee. If he could have got a multi-year deal with St. Louis or somebody else, he would have been long gone, okay? The Brewers wanted him back. He didn't have a job. He took the offer. It was a nice deal. But don't kid yourself. It wasn't like if Moose wanted to come back to Milwaukee, he would have signed something with the Brewers a long time ago if there was some unfinished business.
Well, he still wanted to come back, perhaps, but at a fair price.
Yeah, but, he looked at other places. It wasn't like Milwaukee was his top priority. He shopped around, and I don't blame him. He shopped around to get the best deal and wasn't out there again this offseason, so he came back to Milwaukee.
Another tough offseason for Moose where the offers just aren't coming in for him.
It was tough, obviously, but with what happened this offseason in California, in Malibu, it kind of put a lot of things in perspective. A lot of people lost their homes. And a lot of people, have nothing from where we're at right now. So, it puts everything back into perspective. And, I get to come out here and play baseball and, come spring training with a great organization and great teammates and great coaching staff. And, everything's going to work out for the best.
So maybe Milwaukee was his fallback plan, but not a bad fallback plan to have. An organization where you get along with these guys quite a bit and an organization where you are welcomed and beloved.
He said that last year when he was with Kansas City. When he was there at the time, because he turned down a qualifying offer to go to free agency last offseason. It didn't happen. He had to sign for $6.5 million with the Royals. He said it. He was angry. And then finally he said, you know what? Me being angry isn't going to help the situation. It happened. And he said, we'll see what the future holds. But this is 2 years in a row for him.
Moose says now, because we are sort of burying the lead here, he's looks like he's going to be your second baseman. And what Council was saying the other day is, whoever sticks at second is going to be like our primary second baseman. Sure, they'll get a little run at third, but they'll be our primary second baseman. Mike Moustakas has not played that professionally. Travis Shaw did a year ago. But Moustakas does have some experience in the middle of the diamond.
You know, I played in the middle infield for most of my life when I was coming up, shortstop. But, you know, something we'll have to work on and obviously get better at. But, you know, we'll see once I get into spring training and some games how that goes. And I feel comfortable over there right now, so, you know, we'll see how it happens.
So he's got to make the position switch. I wonder if there's any team that was going to offer him and said, hey, you know what, you can play third base for us. You don't have to learn a new position, but you can play third base. Or was he was okay with making the position switch to come to Milwaukee and make this $10 million?
Yeah, it's not like they hoodwinked him. It's not like they said, all right, you can come here and play third base, and then he writes his name on the dotted line, and they say, all right, second base.
Yeah.
They've been talking to Moustakas, Council, and Stearns have 4 weeks. We learned that this week. So he knew exactly what he was going to be signing up for. And when he says it's going to come down to him or Shaw at second, and it's likely, I would think, going to be Moose at second, he says, no matter what, I'm here to do one thing.
Me and Counts talked about it. You know, even last year we talked about it when I got traded over. And, you know, Travis did a phenomenal job over there. And, you know, I think Travis ended up being second or third in the Gold Glove race at third base. And he's a phenomenal, he's just a phenomenal baseball player. So, you know, I think him and me are both on the same page. Whatever we can do to help this team win ball games, I think that's what we're going to go out there and do.
So, saying all the right things, Chuck, now it's just a matter of how it looks.
Yeah. And although Council did say yesterday, don't put it in so many words, don't put it in stone that Moose is going to be starting at second base. It still might be Travis Shaw down the road and Moose at third base if this doesn't work out.
I would think that Moustakas has to play very, very poorly.
Well, yeah, we'll see how he plays at second base. The
Council
Brewers have tried this before. They've tried moving Braun to first base, and that didn't work out.
Council did note when he was talking to the media yesterday that playing second base now is maybe different than playing second base a few years ago. You got a couple different things for that. You've got the shifts, so even when you're not playing second base, you find yourself over there sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then he says the Chase Utley rule, Council noted, also makes it easier where you don't have to, like, you're not going to get taken out all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a little bit different than it was maybe even 5 years ago playing second base.
And he relates some words of advice from Moustakas. He said, at second base, you have to be smooth, not necessarily quick, but you have to be smooth in making those plays.
Moose mentioned some things he does want to work on right away.
Well, that double play is something we're going to have to work on and get used to. And, you know, cut off and relays and being in the right position, you know, I'll get the hang of it.
So they got 6 weeks to do it. Mike Moustakas officially a Brewer once again and officially in camp.
Here's the deal. All these guys at one time or another on their teams were the best players of their teams and did it all. Played shortstop, pitched. I mean, Moose, he played shortstop in high school. Amateur ball, he played shortstop. Okay? But he moved to the major leagues and, you know, he didn't have that shortstop build. He wasn't a shortstop. He was a third baseman. So, you know, he's got some athleticism. You know, he's a big guy. We'll see if he's able to get that back and play and do the things like turn the double play and make those plays in short right field. I'm a little skeptical, but if the Brewers think and Council thinks he could do it, let's let it play out.
Our friends at Golden Chicken, they tweet in that John Heyman did report recently there was a multi-year deal that Moose turned down to sign with the Crew. You know what? We'll talk to Bob Nightingale about Moustakas and about Manny Machado and about Bryce Harper and all that. Bob Nightingale, reporter with USA Today, well-respected. He'll join us here in 4.5 minutes. Want to remind you guys over at Perkins, $6.99, the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. You can get 3 eggs, however you like them, scrambled over easy, over medium, whatever. You can get the eggs. You get the hash browns. You get 4 pieces of meat, so the sausage, links, patties, or the bacon, and then 4 pancakes, flapjacks right there for you. The eggs, the pancakes, the hash browns, and the meat, all for just $6.99 for that meal. Bart's Breakfast Bonanza, obviously. You can get it right now, breakfast time. You can get it all day. When Perkins is open, they'll serve that to you. You can get breakfast options all day long if you'd like at Perkins, including the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. Again, it's only available for a limited time. So if you're looking to hit it on the weekend, had somebody tweet me that it actually tastes better when they're hungover. Hey, whatever works, man. Whatever works. If you're looking to get it on the weekend, this, I believe, is going to be the final weekend to do it. It's available at any Perkins throughout southeast Wisconsin, the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. So, what was the market like for Moustakas? What was it like for Manny Machado? And are the Phillies really bidding against themselves for Bryce Harper? We'll talk to Bob Nightingale next.
Hey. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM, and everywhere on the radio.com app. We'll get in touch with Bob Nightingale momentarily, USA Today. Does this mean when you see Machado 10 years, $300 million? I saw a lot of people, whether it was on TV yesterday or Twitter, Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's saying there's collusion. Doesn't look like it.
I mean, okay, so a team paid up for Manny Machado, but it's not good for the game. I just don't think it's good for the game that it took so long. I mean, spring training, the Brewers had their first workout in spring training before the second top free agent signed. That's weird.
But I think it is good for the game in that teams have learned their lesson signing these big contracts. Even when A-Rod signed his big contract with Texas back in, you know, the mid 2000s, 2003 or wherever it was, that soon afterwards they were dealing him and they were like, "What are we doing?" You know, these teams go overboard. They sign these huge contracts and it's like, "Wow!" Now we got to sit and watch this guy for the next few years. It's just, you know, if it was a short term deal, a 3 years, $90 million deal, but 10 years, $300 million, man, that just seems like a lot to give to anybody. Especially since it's guaranteed. And I don't know, I think it helps the Brewers in small markets where it's like, you know, some of these owners are smartening up and saying, you know, we're not going to do that. In past years, Bart, it'd be like the Yankees would be all in on Machado.
Well, that's where he wanted to go.
Yeah, and Machado talked to the Yankees, and the Yankees were like, you know, they interviewed him, and they were like, hey, we'd love to have you, but we're not paying that. And that's great.
Yeah, apparently they never really, like, seriously even considered Machado.
I think that's fantastic. So, yeah, let's bring these. We don't want Yelich in a couple of years when that contract comes due, that price tag, that the Brewers have to fork out $350 million over 10 years for him. All right? I mean, that's just insane. And the Brewers haven't been able to keep guys because Greinke goes here and
Fielder goes
here. Yeah, I mean, CeCe, those are three examples right there. And I don't like that. I don't the fact that there's no salary cap in baseball. I hate that. Absolutely hate that in baseball. Sure, there's a luxury tax that people aren't afraid to pay. But you know, when you can get a $250 million payroll, that's ridiculous.
It may just be because the last like real pro game we've had to talk about was a week ago. But doesn't it seem like we've just been talking about money, 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 money all the time?
Well,
Rodgers, contract, money. Machado, signing, money. Harper, Middleton, what's he going to make? Max, Giannis, will he stay? Max, money, money, money. It just feels like we're always going back to money. And I almost wonder if it would be better if we didn't know. Like, would it be better if we didn't know how much sports guys made?
Well, the teams never tell you how much they make. It's the media that figures it out. Like the Padres will never come out and say, we spent $300 million over 10 years. Or the Brewers will never say that. They'll say they come to terms on a deal, a 10-year deal. They'll never say the amount of money at all. It's how we find out because these agents talk to the media and the word leaks out and that's how it works.
All right, so growing up in Fond du Lac, I remember one of the biggest days of the year.
Was anybody making $300 million in Fond du Lac?
No. No, no, no. But I remember one of the biggest days of the year, and I'm not kidding, it caused a buzz around the town, was when the newspaper there would print the teacher salaries. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because my ex-wife's salary used to be in there.
Right. So once a year, the newspaper would print the teacher salaries, and everyone would go rush to see what everybody made. And they did that because it's public money that's funding the teachers. So you have a right, I guess, to know. In sports, I mean, yes, okay, so you pay a tax for the stadiums, whatever. But I don't know if it's still a privately run business. It would be like if you could just go on anybody's website, you know, go to Golden Chicken website, go to Fiserv website, go to, you know, wherever website, and just scroll down and see what people make. It would be ridiculous. Yet in sports, we can go talk about everybody's contract. We know the out clauses. We know how much they're making. We know what's guaranteed. I get why. I mean, it's part of like salary cap and it's important, but it's just driven so much of the conversation lately. I wonder what the world would be like in sports if we didn't know. We would judge guys differently. I bet you a lot more people would think Middleton's their favorite player because money surrounded this guy forever. Hell, his name is Cash. His nickname is Cash. I just wonder what that world would be like.
Well, just like normal jobs. Like, I don't want to know what you make. I don't want to know what Horvat makes. I don't want to know what Ellerson makes. I don't care. You know, that's your business. I don't want to know, because if you're making more, I don't want to know that you might be making more or less or whatever. I don't want to know any of that stuff. I don't. I don't. And in baseball, I'm sure these athletes are probably the same way. Boy, this guy's making more money than me. Really? And he's a platoon guy? And here I am going out there every day and giving this team production? Yeah, I mean, it probably at the on baseball teams, there has to be some of that. They can't put naturally aside. I'm sure these guys must talk about it all the time, that, God, that guy's making $15 million. His production is terrible for $15
million. All right, or I'm only making $550,000. Look what I'm doing for the team.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that the other players know how much everybody makes, it just, again, it causes more, like, more controversy.
Sure.
And so, you know, but at some point, even if we lived in that world, someone, maybe like Antonio Brown, would say, hey, I'm only making this, and he's only, you know, and then we'd all eventually find out. Money seems to, in contracts, we just talk about it so much. Like, I like talking about the games, I like talking about the sports, you do too, but I think a lot of times we just talk about the money, and it's just really interesting that we do it that way.
Like Machado. I don't know if he feels this way, but if someone gives you $300 million over 10 years, don't you feel like an extreme obligation that you got to go out there and play every day, and you got to perform, and you got to live up to that contract? There's a pressure, I think, in that. I don't know if he feels that way, but if you don't live up to that contract, then I think everybody on that roster, the other 24 guys, will look at you and say, geez, here's Machado sitting out again, where he's not running out of the ground ball, yet he's making $30 million a year and batting .250.
Yeah, and how can you be one of the guys when you've got a big condo on the sea?
Yeah.
And when these other guys are just, you know, slumming it in apartments.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it is kind of interesting. And everybody knows how much he makes. Like, you know how slim the odds are of playing the lottery? Like, I'll gamble all the time, but I will not play the lottery. I will never do Powerball, I'll never do Mega Millions, because on the very, 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 very slim chance I win, in Wisconsin, everybody's going to know you win.
Okay, now, there's been a lot of lottery winners from Fond du Lac. We all know the street there, the Miracle Mile. Do you know any of those people whose lives
not personally
just turned around?
No.
Okay.
So not personally.
I knew that one couple. I played softball against a couple, that guy who won the lottery was going to marry a woman, and they both got a lawyer, and they end up not even getting married because they had to share the ticket, and the money just drove them right apart.
Yeah, I mean, if I had $300 million, I wouldn't want anyone to know. If I had $1 million, I wouldn't want anyone to know.
No.
But in baseball, that's how it works. So interesting stuff. We'll get in touch with Bob Nightingale either later today or tomorrow. I'm assuming he is busy breaking some Bryce Harper news, which is another interesting thing, because the Phillies are negotiating against themselves right now, and they almost have to, like, they're going to be forced to pay more than what Machado signed for, even though nobody else is willing to pay Harper that kind of money. It's just crazy. We talk sports, we watch sports, but it always comes back to the money.
You have to feel, though, after Machado signs this deal, that the rest of the dominoes are going to fall into place. Harper's going to get his money. Keuchel's going to get his. Anybody else, it's all going to fall in line.
But I'm saying, if I'm Harper, I'm not signing for less than Machado.
Well, apparently the Phillies are going to give him more than Machado.
But they're bidding against themselves.
Yeah, I don't know who else would be in sweepstakes right now.
It's very odd and very weird. But we'll have that for you when it happens. Speaking of money, let's go from $300 million all the way down to $3 million, where you can get a set from Harry's for just $3. Millions, tens of millions of people have switched to Harry's razors. And right now, when you switch like I did, and I switched really, the price is a big part of it. That's what was attractive with this deal. But also, it's just a better razor. It's a more comfortable shave. It's a smoother shave. You know, a lot of times after I shaved, I really shave the neck part. And I just, you like can play connect the dots on your neck because of all the cuts you make. Because some of these razors, I just buy what is the cheapest one at the store, which means it's not very good. It's still like $12 for that pack. It's no good. It's not a good razor. So what am I doing? I'm like paying to hurt myself on purpose. Not with Harry's. A close shave, a smooth shave, and a comfortable glide. And you can join the 10 million who have already switched right now. For a limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of this show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with the code BART at harrys.com. That means you'll get the razor, the weighted handle, the foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. All that stuff you get for just $3, plus free shipping, when you use the code BART, B-A-R-T, at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today. Use the code BART at checkout to claim your offer. Again, no gimmicks here. These are not spaceships that you're shaving with. The guys that founded Harry's wanted it to do and be done the right way. And that's why they've got this deal for you. Again, just $3 for all that plus free shipping. Go to harrys.com, code BART. All right, we will talk with Jared Weiss coming up, Celtics writer with The Athletic. Bucks Celtics tomorrow night. A playoff preview, perhaps. Maybe a second round matchup. Maybe Eastern Conference Finals. We'll get a primer on tomorrow night's game. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman from the Bryant-Stratton College Athletic Studios. We're out of here at 10 o'clock. Bill Michaels 10 to 2. Before that happens, we will still hear from Bob Nightingale, USA Today, to talk some MLB. But we've got to talk about the game tomorrow night. Bucks, Celtics, finally the NBA is coming back after a month and a half hiatus is what it feels like. Jared Weiss covers the Celtics with The Athletic, and he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Jared.
Hi, Jared.
Good to be here with you guys.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Jared. I feel like the Celtics, even though they're 37-21, they haven't quite put it together just yet. You know, there's been some dysfunction, the Kyrie contract and all that, but I still think, man, they're going to be a major player here in the second part of the season.
Probably. It's impossible to know. They're completely unknown at this point. Every time things are going really well, they fall apart. Every time things are falling apart, all of a sudden they're going really well. It's been one of the craziest seasons I've witnessed in my career covering the NBA. So it's been fun, that's for sure. But if you look at just the last 2 months or so, they've been playing, probably the only team that's really been playing better than them are Golden State and Milwaukee, and maybe Denver. So they're right there at the top lately. But it's so hard to know what the core identity of the team is, what their core lineup is going to be. I think you're going to see a lot of changes. And obviously tomorrow night, we're going to find out if they're going to reconfigure things.
You know, when the Celtics were playing the Bucks in the postseason last year, it was obviously without Kyrie and without Hayward. And then everybody knew, okay, the Celtics are going to be in this position where they're going to have like 8 starters for 5 spots and they'll have to figure that out. But, you know, they'll eventually figure it out. It doesn't seem like they have at this point. What's still like the missing piece to why we're on the outside not thinking that it's working as well as it should be?
Well, I don't think you're going to have as there's no answer whether you're on the inside or the outside. It's mostly in these guys' heads. It's consistent efforts on defense, trusting the play on offense, not breaking off, which they were having a major issue with earlier in the year. I think it's gotten a lot better, frankly. But at this point, for them, they're still trying to figure out how do all these pieces line up over the course of 48 minutes every single night. And I think they've been getting 35 to 40 minutes of good basketball now for a couple months, but when the margin of error in the playoffs or against a team like Milwaukee, who's the best team in the Eastern Conference right now, you know, that margin of error is just so tiny that they can't get away with that.
Rozier, I don't feel like he's quite the – I mean, he was such an impact player last year against the Bucks. What is – I mean, because he's back to feel like a role player almost on this team than the integral role that he played last year in the postseason.
Well, the funny thing is when Rozier starts games this year, he's putting up pretty much the exact same numbers that he was putting up in the playoffs last year, and actually his shooting percentages are way better. It's a pretty small sample size, though, but I think it's about 8 or 9 games at this point. But so he just doesn't get to start very often, and he is someone who just needs to be out there, warmed up, coming in off the tip, get a chance to kind of, you know, find his rhythm. That's how he becomes effective. And Gordon Hayward has been going through the same issue this year. Those two guys, when they're in the starting lineup, they're playing like their best selves, but they just haven't had that opportunity very often. So Rozier's in this really kind of weird, you know, limbo, essentially. And they need him to play. They need him to play in rhythm when he's coming off the bench, be able to do that for 20 to 25 minutes a game, because Kyrie's there. Kyrie is a better player than Terry is. And Terry just hasn't been able to figure out how he can do that consistently. The last, like, couple weeks, he's starting to show it, but sometimes it looks like it's coming around, and then, again, like this team, it just disappears.
I feel like right now, as we talk to Jared Weiss with the Athletic, Bucks-Celtics tomorrow night, TNT, I feel like the Bucks are good. I mean, they are good.
Oh, yeah.
Number one team in the East. But I feel like what's going to happen is come playoff time, you know, assuming they get past the first round, if they match up with Toronto or Philly or Boston, I feel like the Bucks will be, by Vegas standards, the underdog in that series. And Boston has been a team. I mean, we saw that playoff series last year and even the game this year out in Boston that can – you know, they could beat the Bucks. They could put some of these guys like Olajuwon that doesn't play a ton, but suddenly he's playing 30 minutes guarding Giannis. Are they still a team that matches up maybe the best with the Bucks from what you know?
I think so, and I think Olajuwon is a huge part of that. He probably defends Giannis as well as anybody at those, you know, of those top four teams. I guess Kawhi Leonard would be a better matchup, but he's not going to match up against Giannis all game. So Olajuwon is that secret weapon that they have. And they don't really break. He's kind of like trapped behind emergency glass, like a fire extinguisher. They just break him out in case of Giannis emergencies. But so they continue to match up well. Not much has really changed in the matchup department between these two teams over the last year. But obviously, Milwaukee is way better than last year. And it's not just because of Coach Bud and he's running a pretty flawless system right now. But all of these guys have taken a pretty big step in their careers. I mean, Eric Bledsoe was a huge issue for Milwaukee in that series last year. And this year, I thought he should have made the All-Star team over Middleton just based on how he played this year. I think Middleton got it because it's kind of more of a career achievement award for him because he's been deserving of it for a couple of years now. But Bledsoe is playing the best basketball of his career, and that was a huge weak point for Milwaukee last year. Brogdon played pretty well in the playoffs last year, but this year he's been phenomenal. So, and of course, Brook Lopez is kind of matchup proof right now with the way that he's defending on the perimeter and the way that he's shooting. So Milwaukee is just, I think they've covered up all the holes that were exposed last year, and they're no longer completely dependent on Giannis just running through the defense like he was last year. So, I mean, this match, I still think Milwaukee's the better team. I think Milwaukee's the best team in the East, and at this point they're the favorite to get to the finals.
And if these two teams go head-to-head, you got two excellent coaches. We did a Twitter poll. Our station did a couple of weeks ago, I want to say, or maybe last week it was. Who would you take right now? Who's a better coach, Coach Bud Budenholzer or Stevens? And of course Bud won that poll, but I don't think overwhelmingly, but I mean, if you did that one in Boston, it'd probably be Stevens, wouldn't it be?
I'm sure that's fan bias. From my perspective, that's a tough call. I mean, right now Bud is doing it, so I guess you'd have to go with Bud. And he's got a track record of doing this. I mean, he's built 61 teams in the past. I guess obviously we'll see how far he can take it, but yeah, right now, I mean, he's going to win Coach of the Year. It's either going to be him or Nate McMillan or maybe Mike Malone, but it's probably going to be him. And he's built a system that has all these pieces fitting together perfectly, and everybody has buy-in, and he's elevated the effort level from everyone. I think that's what you look for to see how much is a coach impacting a team. Is how much harder are these guys playing compared to last year, and how much more are they communicating with each other? And he figured it out, and he hasn't even dramatically changed what they're doing. I mean, a lot of the principles and, like, their deep drop defense is similar to some of the stuff that they were trying with last year. He hasn't reinvented the wheel in Milwaukee. He's smoothed it out.
Is the offseason stuff, I mean, Kyrie, his decision, Anthony Davis rumors, is that like a disruption right now or just normal NBA drama?
Well, normal NBA drama is completely disruptive and upends the universe every 3 days. So, I don't think that the questions about Kyrie's future are really kind of tearing apart the locker room necessarily. I think it's the way that Kyrie has been treating his team this year has been what's been causing issues. And usually I think that most of the stuff that happens in the media, especially rumors in the media, tends not to really affect the locker room. But we've seen demonstrably guys, Kyrie will say something or Marcus Morris will say something, and then other players are responding to what they're saying. It's been pretty apparent that stuff has been affecting the locker room. This isn't a team that like hates each other, but the Celtics team doesn't have very tight chemistry like a lot of these other teams, like they did last year, for instance, or 2 years ago when they had Isaiah Thomas here. This is a team of a bunch of individuals, frankly, who are playing together rather than a close-knit group, but they complement each other pretty well in the court, and it's just a matter of them finding the balance so that everybody can get theirs and still, or at least everybody can figure out how to split the pie while still feeling satisfied. And just there's so many hands that want such big slices this year. They've been struggling with that all season long.
Bucks Celtics tomorrow night. Jared Weiss covering it for The Athletic. Jared Weiss NBA on Twitter. Appreciate some time, Jared. Maybe we'll talk again come April, come May.
I'll see you guys in the playoffs.
Yes, I think he will. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Chuck and Winkler are back in 2 minutes on The Fan.
The Fan Milwaukee is everywhere. Listen on the radio.com app, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, and on 105.7 FM, thefan.com.
Adam, the Auto Dealers Association of Metro Milwaukee invites you to sample the best in craft beer and food at our new Sip and Savor event on February 28th, part of the Auto Show at the Wisconsin Center. Over 25 craft brewers will be on site from 7 to 9:30 p.m. with more than 70 beers to try and some fantastic food. Lakefront Brewery and Mob Craft Beer are just two of the great regional brands, and the food lineup includes Usinger's Famous Sausage, Clock Shadow Creamery, and Chiel, just to name a few. Go to adam.com for advanced tickets, selling for $19.95, or you can get them at the door for $25. Sip and Savor tickets get you admission into the auto show as well, and designated drivers get into the auto show for free. You don't want to miss it. Tickets to the February 28th event are available at adam.com. That's adamm.com. $19.95 in advance and $25 at the door. Sip and Savor while viewing over 500 new cars, trucks, classic vehicles, lowriders, and exotics at the auto show. Get your tickets today.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Busy time in baseball, finally. Been a slow offseason, but some signings have happened throughout the league and even with our own beloved crew. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, morning. How are you guys?
Oh, it's great to get you aboard here. I want to ask you right off the top here about Mike Moustakas. Why did it take so long for Moustakas to sign a deal? What was was there any other multi-year offers out there? Not what he wanted. Give us a lowdown on how this all went down with Moustakas.
Yeah, for Moustakas, it's deja vu. Remember last year, he was a late signing, finally, with the Royals. Not that for sure. He would. I'm sure he did too. He'd get at least a 4-year deal, maybe even a 5-year deal for what he did and the power he produces. So, I don't know if he was looking for too much early on or what. But, so teams like the Brewers were patient and got him at the price. You still got $10 million, which is a nice high annual average value, but just a 1-year deal, it's a great, great fit for the Brewers.
There's still some guys out there, and with Machado signing, that's when we expect some of these more dominoes to fall, I guess. Do you think the Brewers are done at this point? I mean, Dallas Keuchel's a name that's been floated out there. I think I would love to see that. I just, financially, the Brewers seem to want us to think they're stretched pretty thin.
I could see a Gio Gonzalez there, because you can probably get him for 1 year, 2 years max, maybe $8 to $10 million sort of thing. So I think he's fallen through the cracks. I'm with you. I don't see them spending $90-$100 million on Keuchel. And Keuchel, you know, the fastball has dropped off and everything else. Obviously, he'd be better in the National League, without the DH. But still, there's concerns just about the arm and everything else. I think Gio Gonzalez makes great sense there.
Okay, so that's the reason why Keuchel has not been signed yet? People are concerned the fastball's dipped off a little bit?
Yeah, it dripped off a lot. You know, he doesn't get those strikeouts like he used to. He's not that dominant guy. Granted, he knows how to pitch, a smart guy, very good in the clubhouse, good leader, but just he's not dominant like he used to. So that's what scares people.
Talking with Bob Nightingale, MLB reporter, USA Today. Bob, with this Manny Machado situation, the Padres, I guess, they're sort of the secret team, but they've sort of been building something there with their farm system, with Hosmer last year. Does this signing make, do we have to take them seriously right now, or is it still maybe a year or two away for them?
Yeah, I think we're still a year or two. I think really more toward 2021. I mean, the pitching staff is still kind of in shambles. I think if everything went right, they finished third behind the Dodgers and Rockies. So at least it gets people excited in the city, sell some tickets, that sort of thing. A lot of money committed. They want him to be the anchor of that infield. So they're spending money and people are happy. Got a lot of prospects. But, a lot of those prospects, won't make it either. Not all these guys are going to make it.
Yeah. One thing that we really haven't talked a lot about, since the Brewers have had to go out and make a lot of these moves, like last year, and the year before that they've had to spend some money. They've had to spend some of their prospects. So at one point, they had like the number one farm system in Major League Baseball. Now I think they have maybe one or two in the top 100 prospects in all the minor leagues. How do the Brewers go about rebuilding? Is this a cyclical thing? Because they got to start rebuilding that franchise, the minor league system now too.
Yeah, very much cyclical. It's almost like when the White Sox kept going for it and weren't winning. Mm-hmm. So then they trade away, Chris Sale and Adam Eaton, those type of guys. Then all of a sudden they had a good farm system. So, it's a very, very rare to have a great major league team and a great farm system. I mean, for years, the San Francisco Giants were ridiculed for having a bad farm system. Well, they won 3 World Series in 5 years. Who cares? Sometimes you trade away prospects to get those proven guys, like a Christian Yelich. I mean, is anybody crying now that they gave away prospects to Miami? Those guys haven't done anything. The prospects, Boston Red Sox trade for Chris Sale. They haven't done anything either. So a lot of times you use those guys just for chips and get proven players.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. The other big name still out there, Bryce Harper. It seems like the Phillies are the target there, but it almost seems like, are they bidding against themselves right now, and when do we expect that to go final?
Yeah, they are bidding against themselves. I mean, the only team involved, the Giants, they just want to go short-term. Now there's an ego thing, too, like you want to get more than Machado. Maybe he takes less years but gets, more money per year to satisfy that. For a while, the White Sox out there being against themselves. Then the Padres jumped in there, with huge offers over the weekend. So things can change in a hurry. But right now, I think the Phillies badly want this guy. I think they'd be kind of embarrassed if they don't get him, because they've been so outspoken about, wanting to be aggressive in the market. And as much as they have done, if they don't get Harper, their fan base is going to think it was a rotten offseason.
How is Craig Kimbrell? How is he unsigned? I mean, all these relievers in past years, Chapman got paid, Jansen, Wade Davis. How is Kimbrell still unsigned? I don't quite get that either.
I think he made a big mistake early on. We were looking for 6 years over 100. Obviously, he's got numbers. I think scared teams off and say, we're not going to give him $100 million, so we're not even going to bother calling. And now teams have got the relievers, made their expenditures. It really hurt him that the Boston Red Sox said, we don't want to spend that money on him because, we're so far over the luxury tax, you have to pay the highest penalty. So, for instance, if you pay him a one-year deal even for 18, it costs him $28 million. So I think he ends up in Atlanta's lap on a 1 or 2 year deal. I think they're playing it smart, and he's going to just fall right through the cracks and you know, go back home to the Braves.
The way the roster stands now, outside of anything shocking, I would think, well, the Reds, I mean, they're at least trying, the Pirates, but it's Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers. Who's your favorite right now in the NL Central?
You know, it's so close to call. You know, just because of track record, I give the Cubs a slight nod, thinking, okay, you know, Darvish is going to produce more than one win. Chris Bryant's not going to be, you know, injured all year, off and on like he was. You know, Brandon Morrow, Montgomery, you know, just a lot of things went wrong for those guys that still won 95 games. You know, but that being said, you know, you still see the Brewers, you know, win this thing by 5 games. You can see the Cardinals doing the same thing with their great pitching staff. So I think it's going to be a tremendous race. You know, I don't think Cincinnati's done enough or Pittsburgh to compete with those three. But I keep seeing going the last 2 weeks of the season, all three teams, you know, being within 2 or 3 games of one another.
Interesting. It will be interesting, and we can't wait for it. Bob, appreciate some time, and we hope to talk soon.
Thanks, Bob.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Bob Nightingale joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, along with Jared Weiss a moment ago, talking some Celtics basketball. Both of those guys on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, courtesy of our boy John Reitz, looking to build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community all the way back since 1935.
I hope Kimbrough, who I asked him a little bit about right there, doesn't end up with the Cubs. Now, the Cubs say they're tapped. I hope they don't reach back and try to still sign Kimbrough.
Well, they say they got no money.
Yeah, they do. So, okay. If they don't have any money, then they can't afford the $15 million a year that Kimbrough was looking for.
So we're going to sign off here, and then as news usually happens, Machado signed about 10 minutes after we got off the air yesterday.
Yeah.
Does Bryce Harper sign within the next 20, 25 minutes?
Probably by my 10:02 update.
Yeah, so as soon as you're finishing, I'm Chuck Freeman. Go over to Master Z's and, you know, whatever, Lake Okeechobee, whatever, Q Club, whatever. Bryce Harper signs goodbye?
Yes, Bryce Harper. We'll probably the Phillies, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be them at this point. But we'll see. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bill Michaels up next. George Hill on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, 6 o'clock tonight. We're back tomorrow, 6 a.m.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.